Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Surviving the Shift. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Tonight, we have special guests, well, I guess this evening here, of course, but somewhere else in the world, it may be this afternoon. Tonight, we have special guest, Dina Martinez. Dina is an actress and talk radio host based in Los Angeles. Her unique perspective stems from her youth in a small town in Texas and from the fact that she's transgender. Dina is a former Miss Los Angeles U.S. of A. and three-time WeHo Award nominee. Her path has not only been a journey in gender, but also in spirituality. So I'm going to welcome Dina to the show, but I have yet to find her in the queue, so just bear with me for a second. I'm going to check these numbers that are in the queue. Hi, who do I have on the line?
This is Dina.
Hi, Dina, hi. I have a couple of numbers in there, so I wasn't sure which one to pick. It was kind of Russian roulette there. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. You know, I just love synchronicity because I find, things work out just when we need them. And I'm about to launch a new radio show soon. And you being on the show, it just reiterates to me how important it is for me to launch this next show because it's called Authentic You Radio. And so having you on the show is kind of just reconfirming for me that I'm going in the right direction with my radio show. So I guess we'll get to it. It's going to be an interesting show. I guess tonight we're not going to take callers tonight just because I've had a couple of emails from people. It's a touchy subject, and I just feel as though we could do without having callers that are less than polite.
I'm fine with that.
Yes. Okay.
But
so,
I'm
Dina,
so comfortable with myself that I think that that I could have handled it, but we're good. I like this. It's going to be
yes.
You and I, hun.
Well, you know, I just didn't want to, you know, get into an awkward spot where I might have to hang up on someone. You know, I didn't want to go there.
I hear you.
Yeah. So let's dive right in. I guess everyone wants to know, I know I want to know, what is transgender? What does it mean? I know there's so many labels out there, so many things, different kinds of labels that people call themselves and, you know, not just in the gender type situation, but all kinds of labels. So what does that mean?
Right. Well, transgender is basically an umbrella word for transsexuals, cross-dressers, and but I'm also sexual. I am on a path physically because
you're breaking up a bit, Dina. Are you on a cell phone?
Is it bad?
Yeah, it's breaking up. You're cutting in and out.
Oh no. Is that better?
Yeah, it's better now, yeah.
I'm so sorry about that. So did you get what I said, or do I need to...
I think you'd need to repeat it, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Transgender just seems to be an umbrella word. Genderqueer, transsexual, transvestite, and crossdresser kind of community. And when it comes down to it, we all identify a little bit differently. And it's really great for those people who, you know, there's a new thing called genderqueer that, well, not new, but it's kind of where people are happy being their gender, but are pushing the button when it comes to gender and being very androgynous and things. But I do consider myself transsexual, meaning that I am on a journey to physically become who I am inside.
Okay, yeah. You know, I thought that's what it meant, but I just wanted to clarify just before we go any further, so we know what that
right.
means. So I guess take us on the whole journey. Take us back to, I guess, your childhood, because most people who, you know, become transgendered or all those different labels, they usually discover this when they're younger, usually.
Right.
So can you take us back to the beginning and walk us through, you know, spiritually speaking as well, because this is a spiritual show, and what it's meant to do is really inspire people, you know, spiritually speaking, so the inner journey. So I guess talk
right.
about, you know, not just the gender issue, but just you in general and how okay. your life has evolved starting from childhood,
well,
of course.
Well, I did grow up in a small town in Texas, and it was very interesting. You know, pretty much a normal family. We went to church every Sunday, to the Baptist church. We participated in all the community things. And it just, as I grew up, I realized that there's something different about me, and I really couldn't put a finger on it, but I knew I was just special. And so sitting in church, getting this condemnation, basically, from the pulpit every Sunday was really, it was very strong for me, you know, emotionally and spiritually. And so I recall just sitting in the pew and having our preacher talk about, you know, homosexuality is wrong. And that's the only label I had to put on it at the time. And so that, from that very young of an age, that, I mean, that had to be in my, even in elementary, I recall being, you know, feeling more attuned to female roles than male. So it was really interesting. It was really difficult and beautiful at the same time.
Oh, I think we've lost Dina. Yeah, I think she was on a cell phone, so we've lost her. She should be calling back in a minute. So just hang tight, everyone. Sometimes when we call the East Coast, and especially if they're using a cell phone, the connection's not all that great because I'm on I'm in the East Coast and Dina's on the West Coast, so it's quite a span for the telephone lines to connect us, so... I've had a couple of people from the West Coast have difficulty connecting with the show, so hang in there. Oh, maybe she's having trouble calling back in. I know her signal must have been low because she kept breaking in and out, so... Actually, Dina's situation reminds me a lot of myself growing up, actually. My father is black, and my school that I went to, there were no black children, and so I had this little secret that I always kept that I was different, and so it really reminds me of that. Oh, here's Dina. Hold on. Hi, Dina. You're back on?
I am. I'm good now.
Okay. Yeah, you're still kind of breaking up a little bit, so I'm not sure
okay.
if maybe... Are you on a cell phone? Did you say that?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Maybe if you move to a different spot in the house, it might work.
I just did, so I'm hoping it's going to work better.
Okay. You know what I have to do at home if I'm on my cell phone? I have to put my foot on the baseboard heater because it's metal, and it seems to make great reception. So.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, it's really
Where
weird.
Did you lose me?
I think you were talking about the fact that you were really connecting with more of the woman roles and just, I think that's where you left off.
Right, okay. What I was saying was it really made for and
You're still breaking up, Dina.
Oh, crap. Let me see. Is this... Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Then I will just stand right here. I guess it... And it took me a very, very long time because when I was in high school, I really wasn't the craziest kind. I didn't really do a lot of crazy partying or anything like that. And so I was really heavily involved in church. Shortly after that, I became a youth minister and I was a church founder with a very charismatic fundamentalist with spirituality. I always knew that even spiritually that there was something different that resonated with me.
And you're breaking up again, Dina. Sorry.
Am I? Wonderful. So this is a journey in itself, isn't it?
Yes. Isn't that interesting? You know, I always find things like this, it's kind of like a little message, and I'm not certain what it's trying to tell us, but there's something there.
Right. So I'm so confused about what we've missed, but... So basically, when throughout my 20s, I spent the whole time trying to seek God and trying to find my path, and I just found that in the path that I was on, that I became very, very self-hating and sad.
Yes.
And so I got to the place where I was like, I was reading the Bible one day, and, you know, it says in the Bible that God wants you to be happy, you know. He created us to be happy and to live a life more abundantly. And I knew that I was not living that life. So it just, and finally, like, my father passed away in 2000, which gave me this incredible break, I guess, in everything that I was experiencing from youth and my 20s, and it actually put me in a spot where I was seeking to find more than just what I'd been seeking. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And so it just came to the place where I had to realize that, you know, God wants me to be who He created me to be. And so He created me to be a very loving, gentle, feminine energy person. And when I finally came down to the fact that I was like, I want to begin transitioning, but I'm scared, a little voice came to me, and it was like, it said, are you more scared of living your life being miserable, or are you scared of being happy and being able to be an example to others? And I was like, you know, I think I'm more scared of living my life miserable. And so so that's when I began transitioning. And since then, like, everything just kind of lined up for me. Things make more sense to me. And my spiritual path is evolving and changed and beautiful. And it's every day, it's a different, it's something new that I learn from this transition of being female and being coming from a male perspective. You know, quite honestly, when the female and male minds work two different ways, they really do. And going through transition and being on hormones and experiencing that one-on-one has just been beautiful, incredible experience. So,
yeah, well, definitely the hormones can, the female hormones. Yeah, need I say any more?
They do work. They do.
Yeah. So you grew up in Texas. So Texas is really, you know, I can kind of relate because Texas is probably fairly closed-minded in terms of, you know, stepping outside the box, so to speak, because
yeah.
I live in Fredericton, New Brunswick, which is in Canada, and it's on the East Coast. And it's, you know, based on the work that I do and the things that, you know, I'm very out of the box and I'm very, you know, why not? You know, I'm very,
right,
you know,
right.
I approach everything as why not? Why not me? Why can't I do this or do that? And everyone that is around me, you know, they're very reluctant to change or very reluctant to be themselves and be happy and, you know, embrace whatever it is that they are or who they are. And so, yeah, I can really relate to, you know, you coming from Texas, and I'm sure it was very closed-minded.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you know what's surprising is I am reconnecting with people from my high school, and they have been incredibly embracing and loving. And something I would have never expected, and it was a place that I was afraid to ever, you know, tread, but they are finding me, and there's this whole reconciling that's going on with where I came from and who I am. So it's,
you know,
really beautiful.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that they're attracted to your energy because you are embracing you, and it's almost like this bright light that you're shining, and everyone's, you know, saying, look at that light, you know, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to, you know, embrace my inner whoever I am, right? So they're probably attracted to that.
I love that idea. and basically, that's what I want out of my life. Don't we all want to be beacons of light and love and have people attracted to us because we're living an honest, beautiful life? I mean,
yeah.
I would think that that's what we all aim for. So I'm
absolutely
very glad that I can be an example of that and hopefully, you know, help people live their lives, no matter what background you come from. Because when it comes down to it, I'm a pretty normal woman. I'm not this crazy partier, prostitute, whatever, you know, it's, I live a very normal life.
Yeah.
Other than talking about it on the radio and talking about it on stage when I do comedy, it's pretty much just, you know, grocery store, home, work. That's my life. And it's something I never expected.
Yeah, and I think people are fearful when they hear something like transgender. They think that, you know, people are, you know, wild and crazy. You know, they see shows like Jerry Springer and they think, oh, you know, this person is not good to be around. And, you know, they have these stereotypes of what it means to be, you know, transgender, whatever label that we're talking about. You know, that's
right,
just
right.
It's all of those fear-based assumptions that we have. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to hear that, you know, to hear that you're just normal like everyone else, you know.
Yeah.
You're just a regular gal.
And our community is, as far as a community goes, it's just like any other community. There is a diversity in who we are because there are heterosexual genetic girls who go out and party and do crazy things too. So I don't understand why there's this whole idea that just because we're transgender that we're going to be like this crazy person or, you know, just living this wild, immoral lifestyle. And I can tell you my lifestyle is pretty darn immoral or pretty darn moral right now.
Yeah, and then, like I say, I think it shows like, you know, Jerry Springer and the media that really play into that. I think that people, you know, especially in smaller towns where we don't have, you know, there are no transgendered people that we're aware of here in Fredericton, for example. There may be people that would desire to be like you. You know, they want to embrace themselves and want to be that, but they just don't because they're fearful of what the community will say. So, yeah, I mean, I think people, especially in areas where there are no, you know, people embracing that side of themselves, we see it on TV, and that's kind of where we get our ideas from. So, yeah. So, did your parents accept you, or was this something that you had to keep from them?
Well, my father passed away before I actually started transitioning, and his acceptance for me and my relationship with him after he passed on, and it sounds crazy to a lot of people, I'm sure, but, like, I actually got closer to my father after he passed away because I felt like I was able to reconcile the things that I hid from him for so long with him. And I feel an acceptance from him, from the other side. My mother is still, you know, she's still going through the process, and I'm trying to be a lot more open and exposing her to who I am a little bit more because I found that when I tried to protect her that I actually did her a disservice. So it's an interesting road, and our family as a whole is kind of in this really interesting transition, so we're all trying to find our own place. And but she hasn't disowned me, and she, you know, she tells me she loves me. She just doesn't recognize me as female, which I understand coming from the place where, you know, her little son is now moving into being a woman, I mean, that's pretty hard to take.
Yes. Yeah, and
so
I can
I'm
say,
just,
go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I'm just letting her have her space and speak to her as much as possible to make sure that she understands where I am and where I come from, and that I am just as normal as anybody else, so.
Yes, and you know what? I mean, she comes from a smaller community or a tighter knit kind of thing, and you know, I can see from experience having two children of my own and being yet still very open to these kinds of things. I know if one of my children came to me, I would be open, but it would still be somewhat of a shock initially.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
to be expected, right? I mean, I think, you know, in time she will come around to, you know. I mean, that's great that she hasn't disowned you and she still says she loves you. That's huge, right? I mean.
It totally is. And I know that I had to go through my own journey, so she's going to have to go through her own journey with it. And it's just expected. I would love it if overnight she would be like, I see you as my daughter, I love you as my daughter, and I will call you by Dina, you know. But I don't expect it to happen overnight. But I do, in the future, expect it to happen. So.
Yes. So, I gotta ask you, why LA? Why did you pick LA? Coming from Texas, was it job related, or did you just like the vibe in LA?
I came out here with a job, which was lovely, but my intention was to move to New York, and the universe had other plans. Everything just lined up to where LA seemed right, and I am an entertainer, and I love doing, you know, love acting, and I'm doing stand-up now, and that is something that I would have never tried, you know, I don't think anywhere else, but I guess the universe knew that this was the right place for me to be to transition.
Yes. Yeah, and I can speak from experience. LA is quite a unique place in terms of being really open, and just spiritually speaking, it's so open. And, you know, people, you could say to someone that you had three horns on your head, and they'd be like, so? You know?
They
are just so accepting, right?
For the most part,
the last time I was in LA, I drove by a bunch of guys in Speedos with cowboy hats, and I thought, wow, that was really bizarre. But then I said, I can't remember. I can't remember what street it was on, but I thought, right, I'm in LA.
There are a lot of things that are distinctly LA that every day you'll be walking down the street and you'll be like, that wouldn't happen anywhere in the world but LA.
Yeah, but you got to love it, though. I mean, it really is an open place, you know. People you can be whoever you want to be, and I think it's because of Hollywood or, you know, the whole acting thing, but really you can be whoever you want, and it's okay.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, you know.
It is really nice when I began transitioning and got on public transportation, going somewhere, and didn't feel like I was a complete oddball because there were other people that were like me on the bus. You know, it was something that you know, I wouldn't have gotten in Dallas.
No,
you know, I wouldn't
absolutely.
Have gotten in Indianapolis. So it's kind of like, you know, there you go.
Yep. Yeah, you're right where you need to be, for sure.
Right,
so you host your own radio show. Is it talk radio, is it?
It is. It's called The Dina and Greg Show, and it's one of my best friends that I met when I first moved out here. He and I just together one day decided that, you know, we're going to do a radio show. So we found a place to do it and just love it. We've been doing it for a year and a half now and have had some amazing guests, and it's mostly comedic, and we get a little blue, but it's a great experience.
Yes. So you're a comedian as well.
Yes.
And what kinds of shows do you do? What kinds of acts do you do? What's the scoop on that?
Well, I do a lot of characters, but on stand-up right now, I'm kind of new at it, and I've been doing a pretty good local circuit, which has been really exciting and really fun. And when it comes down to it, the funny things in my life are funny because I'm transsexual. And so I thought, well, maybe I should just do female humor and make it, you know, just make it kind of generic. And when I get on stage, I can't, because that's not what's funny about me. What's funny about me and what's funny to me about my life is because I'm transgender. And if I didn't have that perspective, it would be, you know, it would be okay to be all like, you know, I'm just a girl, blah, blah, blah. But it's not who I am.
I saw a joke on your Facebook wall, and you were talking about that you had bought a pair of skinny jeans, and I couldn't stop laughing at that. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, I'm a plus size girl, and I have never thought that skinny jeans would ever look good on me. And when I put them on, I was very excited.
Oh, that was hilarious. So, yeah, I think it works for you. I think poking fun at, you know, using the feminine issues, but in conjunction with the transgender issues, it really works. Mm-hmm. It, you know, I couldn't stop laughing. It was hilarious.
Yay. Yeah, that was something, like, last night that I realized, because I did a show last night at El Cid. And I do shows with gay comedians sometimes, but the majority of the comedians that I'm doing shows with right now are heterosexual genetic female comedians and men and males so it's really a fun new experience and kind of out of my comfort zone especially when I began, because you never know how people are going to react to you being trans and funny. And this young lady got on last night, and she was hilarious, and she did a couple of jokes that were just like mine, and I was like, that's so interesting and beautiful, that there's that connection between us, I guess, in a way, but mine comes off a little differently, which is great. But it's pretty much the same experience, just a little funnier because I'm trans.
Yes. Yeah, I think it works for you, for sure. Okay, I guess we're going to shift gears a little bit again. What's your take on the whole 2012 thing? I like to throw that out sometimes to guests just to see what they... And this, you know, this is a unique show, so I'd like to get your unique perspective on that.
Well, that's a good thing, because I even found out that Jesus is coming back May 21st this year. So imagine how many people that are waiting for 2012 have egg on their face when Jesus comes back on the 21st. I just find it interesting that really, when it comes down to it, America, and I guess North America, is the only apocalyptic kind of society. But I figure if I'm living the best life I can live, I'm being honest with people, being honest with myself, I'm loving people, I'm loving myself, then where can I go wrong? You know, so it doesn't matter if the universe comes to an end tomorrow or a giant asteroid plunges into Earth. You know, I'm living as true to me as I can live, and I'm in a good place. So, I don't get scared about that anymore. I think when I did, when I was with the, you know, with the, a charismatic Christian spirituality, that fear was fed into you, you know, and motivating your devotion to God by fear. And God doesn't want you to worship him out of fear. God wants you to worship him out of love and adoration. And so that's kind of where I see myself. And I love God, and I love him out of my appreciation for what he or she's done for me, not out of, oh, God, he's coming back, I have to make sure the house is clean, you know. So
you believe that God is not a male being per se, but more or less an energy, or what do you believe?
I do believe God is more or less an energy, because even in the Bible, there, you know, it talks about God having, you know, three different sides, and there's the male and there's the female, and then there's that in between that is kind of represents us. So I do believe that God is all encompassing. God is in us. God is part of us. We are God, and that God is an energy, you know, because if we don't revere what he put in us or what we are, then how can we really revere anything else or anyone else as being valid creatures?
Yes, that's what I believe as well. I mean, that's very wise words indeed.
Thank you.
So, Dina,
I consider myself metaphysical Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, because my identity of God has been shaped from my Christianity, but I really embrace and encompass many different spiritual paths and practices in my life because it benefits me and it makes me more aware and it makes me just feel right. And I think that's where people go wrong when they are scared to try something out of their box because their church says don't do that. But God is much bigger than a church. God is much bigger than our fears, you know. So listen to him and follow him or her or, you know, the universe. So when it comes down to it, live your life genuinely and live your life in honor of him, and you can't go wrong.
Yes, and you know, I find that people, I guess, in the metaphysical community, they avoid the word God and vice versa when, you know, someone in a regular traditional religion, they avoid the word spirit or, you know, the words that anything but God, right? So, yeah,
right.
I find that there's a little bit of, I like it when I see, you know, the spiritual gurus like Wayne Dyer and, you know, referring to God, because I don't think that it should be a dirty word, you know, in the metaphysical community, right? It shouldn't be something
that
shuns.
Totally.
Yeah, so I think
people get scared of the fact that it is male. It tends to be a male evoking it evokes memories of male and being in a very oppressive spiritual place, I guess. And it does for me in a lot of ways, too. But luckily, I'm finding this balance where it is God. God is what it is, you know, and it's okay to refer to him or her or the universe or whatever and whatever, you know, aspect you want to, because the essence of it is the same. It boils down to love.
Yes. Yes, I agree. So, Dina, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
That is a loaded
one,
question. I'm all $5 million mansion on the hills. I am not even sure. And I'm in this place that something could turn out differently than I expect it to. You know, it always does. Excuse me, I've been a little under the weather. But
actually, me too.
It's horrible.
I know.
But I'm trying to just focus on me right now and what I love to do. And while I'm doing that, you know, everything will pop open. Because I've always been that person who's like, in 5 years, I want to be this. In 5 years, I want to be that. And quite honestly, I never saw myself being 40 years old, being a woman in Los Angeles, living like I do. I would have never thought that in a million years that would happen. I had a whole different plan for my life than the universe did. So, yes, I have goals. Yes, I have plans. I would love to be doing television. I would love to have lots of money coming in. I would love to be able to do energy work and, you know, and just do what I love for a living. But the universe has plans for me, so we'll see how it goes.
That's a great way to be because, you know, even myself, I have these moments where I feel the clock ticking. You know, I feel like I haven't accomplished enough yet. I need to check off my checklist, you know, and get everything done.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, I need to remind myself often that, you know, just enjoy the journey, right?
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
You're very wise for being only 40, definitely very wise beyond your years. You know, and
I think that
comes from a lot of your struggling, right? And I think a lot of people, and I find this, that the people who struggle the most during their youth or, you know, they come from, you know, poverty or abuse or any kind of, you know, background that they've struggled. I find that they, it's like almost like spiritual boot camp. You know, they end up being very wise souls when they get older.
Yeah.
It's like a giant leap forward in spiritual development.
I would like to think that.
I have a question. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say we have a question in the chat room. Someone wanted to know, is Dina's courage to be all she is and who she is in this fabulous way something that is innate or developed over the years of her becoming her authentic self?
Wow. That's
I love that.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know for sure. You know, I've always felt like I wasn't really that courageous prior to transitioning. And quite honestly, for me, it doesn't feel that courageous. People are always like, you know, you're so courageous. Well, I'm like, I just did what I felt like I needed to do. So I would love to say, yes, I'm very courageous. And it happened because I, you know, just had it inside of me, you know, but I don't know where it came from. And I don't even know if it's, if I am that courageous, but I would like to think that, you know,
I think you're very
that it
courageous.
Is part of us all. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does take a lot to be who you are. You know, I've struggled with it myself, you know, just being always, you know, looking to others to see what they think of me. You know, that's been a huge
right.
challenge for me. So for you to overcome that and just be you and shine bright, it's, you know, that's very courageous. So, yeah, I applaud you for that. You know, you're
Thank
very
you.
Inspirational for me as well. I mean, I'm not in the transgender community or anything like that, but, I mean, just you as a person, it's very inspirational to see someone embracing themselves that way.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I know that I'm transgender and I'm really proud of it, but I like to think that I am able to shed light on our plight, I guess, if you will, shed light on the fact that we're not all, you know, really crazy, really insane kind of people. There are those in our community, but we're all just who we are, and we're all just people. That's what is amazing, that people don't realize that we're all just people, regardless of skin color, regardless of gender, regardless of background. We are all just people, and there's God inside of us. And when you don't recognize that as valid in somebody, then you're demeaning them. And I don't accept that as something in my life. So there you
have
it.
And you know, that was the next question. Actually, I was going to ask you if you had a message for others who are struggling with the whole transgender issue. You know, especially the youth. I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot of
yeah.
kids who are fearful. You know, kids who were in your position, you know, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, is there a main message?
Well, absolutely. If you feel like you are transgender, your gender doesn't mix with what your body is and what your gender roles in life are supposed to be, then, you know, you may find somebody who's supportive of you, whether it's your family or not, and just seek God, you know, ask Him. Don't be afraid to go to deity. Don't be afraid to seek spiritual truth, because quite honestly, we're spiritual beings in a physical body, and that's what's going to feed you and give you the strength to go forward in your life, you know, regardless of your situation. So that's what I would say, and find people that are like-minded, people that are supportive of you, because in any, just children, period, adults, we need to find somebody that understands us and that is sympathetic to us, because that's God and other people encouraging us to live our lives in truth. So,
yes, I agree. You know,
I feel cheesy saying all this, but it's so true.
No, it's not cheesy at all. No, absolutely not. So I know you mentioned that, you know, you're going to leave the whole 5-year thing open to whatever comes
mm-hmm.
to you, but in terms of what you're doing now, the comedy, and you had mentioned being an actress, are you looking to
mm-hmm.
become more of an actress, or are you looking to just stay with the comedy for now? Or
You know, I think it all ties in together. In L.A., it is all kind of part of the same. So I am going to kind of go after all the avenues that are open and available to me right now. So we also just launched, Greg and I, launched an online magazine, an online community called Dig Into It. It's D-I-G, letter N, number 2, I-T, magazine. And we have a very diverse group of writers and perspectives, and so it kind of gives us we're really excited about that. So, I mean, I'm definitely moving forward, and I see that things are going to flourish. How they're going to flourish, I don't know, but I'm open to all of the avenues that the universe opens for me. So yay.
So the Dig Into It, what is the basis for this? What is it about?
Well, Dig Into It is Greg and I's media company. It's our radio shows. I have a music show on Friday nights on Error FM, and it's our online properties. And when it came to trying to decide what our next move was as friends who have a business together, something I'd always wanted to do was have an online magazine. And it seemed like the universe just lined the right people and the right things up at the right time for us to launch it. And it's been really interesting. And we want to create a diverse community. And our topics cover pretty much everything. I guess when it comes down to demographics, we're targeted to 25 to 50-year-old women who are mostly metropolitan-based because, you know, we have a really metropolitan perspective on life because that's where we live. But we also have a mother from Minnesota who's going to talk about being a modern mother and the trials and things she learns from that. So it's really diverse, and it's kind of like my group of friends and the people around me. Like, we are really diverse, and why shouldn't everything in life be that way? So it's just, yeah.
I love it. You know, I just went on the site. It's amazing. I mean, it's so, the vibe just coming on the site is really great. I love it.
Thanks.
Excellent.
I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that later because it looks really interesting. It looks like, you know, like you say, it's diverse. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of, it really suits your personality.
for that. I think it does.
Yeah, it really does.
All over the map.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what, Dina, we have about 15 minutes left, so I guess we'll just kind of free talk. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss or anything else, any kind of messages you'd like to give, any words of wisdom that you have to share?
I think I've spent all my wisdom. I just am really looking forward to, you're coming to LA soon, aren't you?
I am, yes, on the 27th.
And I was really excited to see that because I would like to come to your class, so I'm going to try to do that. But I've always got things going on, and I would love people to go to my website, dinamartinez.com. Right now it's more of a blog, and it just lists all my dates that I'm going to be performing. And I've got a few more coming up that are going to be listed on there. But a little promotional plug, I guess.
No, absolutely. I was going to ask you that if you had a website.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so it's dinamartinez.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Very
and the
simple.
Other one, and the magazine was dign2it.com.
Correct.
Dig into, dig, you say it.
Dig into it.
There you go.
It's your life,
kind of
dig into it.
Yeah, it's kind of a tongue twister for me for some reason. I don't know why.
We planned it that way.
Actually, I wanted to mention to you as well, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I'm launching Authentic You Radio, and I'm also launching Authentic You TV, which is kind of, it's really going to be, you know, unprofessional, you know, just me and, kind of like a co-producer kind of situation. And when I'm in LA, I'm going to be doing random interviews with people just talking about what it means to be your authentic you or be your authentic self. And, you know, they're just short little interviews. So I'd definitely like to maybe meet with you and also do a quick little interview. And, you know, it's just, you know, like a 15, 20-minute thing. And I'm going to do a collage video as well. So, yeah, it would be definitely great to have you on
that
as well. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I'm launching that soon, so I'd like to collect as many people as possible to really get the message out there, you know, that it's time to
embrace
our authentic self, for sure. So, yeah,
of
I'll definitely contact you when I'm in town, but, yeah. So, any other words of wisdom to share, Dina? I guess I've run out of questions. You've answered them so well that I ran out of questions.
Well, that makes me happy. I guess that I really am very excited about your new show and the TV because, like, you know that it's very close to my heart to be your authentic self. And it's such a struggle. And more than anything, that's what we need to do is focus on that and loving ourselves and loving others and living in a truth, because that is really what life is about. When you want that... that abundant life that God talks about in the Bible, well, you know, that's how you do it. So it's beautiful. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, you know, I think that the reason why I felt drawn to kind of end this show and move on to embracing your authentic you, because I think we're kind of over a lot of the shifting that's been going on. And I know 2012 was a date, and it doesn't really mean that, you know, everything's going to be better and bright on the other side of 2012. It just means that, you know, things are shifting, and people, you know, the whole financial crisis and all of those things are putting things into perspective. You know, that we're really starting to realize that, you know, we can't walk around, you know, blindly with all this materialistic stuff that we have and collect and collect and collect and expect to be happy. And so when some of those things are taken from us, we realize what's really important and what's of value. So I think... In light of that, and the fact that 2012 is approaching, and, you know, people are really, I guess, in overdrive in terms of shifting, because people are starting to recognize the signs and the shifting, that it's time to put this radio show to bed and move on to the next phase, which is really, okay, get back to basics, you know, get back to loving ourselves and shining, you know, with what God gave us instead of all of the materialism.
And when people start doing that and living an authentic life and living in love, then that's just going to proliferate into a complete, you know, enlightenment throughout the countries and throughout the world. I think, you know, I think that's one of the best places to begin is with you. Michael Jackson said it best when he said, "I'm starting with the man in the mirror."
Yes.
So, there's no way a spiritual revolution, I guess, if you will happen if we don't start doing it ourselves and start being that revolution that we want to see.
Yes, and, you know, from a numerological standpoint, and, you know, I'm a numerologist, so I like to dabble in the numbers. So if you look back, though, at the previous century, which was in the 1900s up until 99, the main number was nines, and now we're into the twos. And those two numbers are completely opposite in terms of energy. One is very ego-dominant and very, very much pushing ahead, driving, determination, ambition, which is the nine. And now we've flipped over into 2000s, and so everybody's kind of floundering because the two is very subdued and peaceful and calm and spiritual. And so the people who were very ego-based and the ones that were driving ahead and always thinking about achieving the next goal, they're kind of floundering, you know, they're really trying to find themselves and find their stability in all of this peaceful, calming energy because it's slowed down so much, you know, there's not as much progress and people aren't focused on achievement as much. And so I think the people that were really focused on materialism are struggling the most.
Uh-huh. I would agree.
Yeah, so I think once we do switch over to 2012, because of the double twos, because right now we're in 2011, it was 2010 last year, there's just the single two, and so when we do switch over, it's going to be double twos, which is even more intense and more peaceful and more subdued. So, yeah, it's just going to intensify for sure.
Oh, I like that. I look forward
to
that.
I'd be curious to know your numbers as well. What I don't want to give your birth date on air if you don't want to, but in order to find your number, I need to add up all the digits in your date of birth.
Uh-huh.
Can you add that in your head really quick?
I can tell you. I'm horrible with math.
Okay, sure.
May 2nd, 1970.
Okay. Okay, yeah, you're six. So six is, yeah, I can see that. I can see why you say you're very normal and very moral, because you're a six,
uh-huh.
and sixes are very responsible people. They're very much the nurturers. So they're always the responsible kind of mother role. You know, they always want to take care of everybody else, and they're always so moral. They're always, you know, always that scale kind of thing going on, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, and it's a bit of a perfectionistic energy, too. So, you know, you're very, and I think that's where the moral thing comes in, too, is that you want to do the right thing, which is the perfectionistic thing, right?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's a great energy. And it's also, by the way, it's the visionary number. So sixes can usually see the bigger picture in all things. So I can see where the wisdom... Yeah, and I can see where the wisdom is coming from now that I know you're six, because you just know things are going to be okay. You know, it's that higher
right.
vision, that just knowing that, you know, you don't have to worry, that it's all working out. It's like, even though you may not be able to see it all coming, but you can just, it's that higher vision within, I guess you could say.
Right. Like
yeah,
that.
And the other thing, too, is that you're very emotional based. You have a lot of emotional numbers. So, very feeling person, too.
That is true.
Yes.
It always seems like occurs, I guess, in growing up, because, you know, you're going through everything and it just intensifies the
yes.
tragedy and the beauty of everything.
Yes, and, you know, sixes can tend to be a little bit of a, you know, drama queens. You know, they kind of take things
mm-hmm.
over the top. Because they're so perfectionistic.
Never.
Because they're so perfectionistic, it's that they have the bar set really high. It's like, you know, for themselves and for other people, it's like, you know, you need to be, you know, you need to act this way. You need to treat me this way, you know, and things like that. You know, so they're very, they've got their morals and their ducks in a row, so to speak, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But this year for you is going to be a really pivotal year in terms of spiritual shifting. Because
Okay. Let
me just add this real quick. 5, 6, 7. Yeah, yeah. You're in an 11. Well, an 11/2. It's written like that. It's written as 11/2. And what that means is 11 is the highest spiritual number, and then it reduces to 2 because 1 + 1 = 2. And under
mm-hmm.
a 2-year, it's always about spiritual growth, and it's always you going within to do a lot of inner work. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of healing in terms of, you were talking about your dad and things like that. So I think you're going to really come to terms with a lot this year. You know, things are going to come full circle in terms of really embracing you and, you know, just standing tall in it all.
Awesome.
So I think it's going to be a good year for you. And also this year, 2011, is the world year of the 4. So it's all about foundation and rebuilding and regrowth.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a great year. Definitely.
It seems like what's happening, so yay.
Yes. Well, Dina, we have about 6 minutes left, so I'm going to wrap us up and then I'll do the closing. So I wanted to thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you. Likewise.
You're welcome. I mean, it was my pleasure. I mean, I knew it was going to be a fabulous show because I just could sense your beautiful energy before you even came on. So thank you so much.
Of course, my pleasure.
Okay. I'll see you soon.
Okay, look forward to it.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, guys, next week we're going to have on the show Peter Canova. Now, Peter is an award-winning author who has firsthand experience with the unusual phenomenon portrayed in his books, such as telepathy, remote viewing, intuitive medical readings, and psychic healing. He has spent much of his life seeking to understand the forces that link humanity together at an unseen level. His latest literary work is Pope Annalisa, and Peter explores an ancient traditional or spiritual tradition, sorry, which cuts across not only Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, but also the so-called pagan mystery schools of the ancient days. Peter will be discussing his book and also his views on spirituality. And so for those of you who've been listening to me and talking about switching the show over and, you know, ending this show, I think it's the right thing to do, and I really feel like the transition is needed. So we're going to finish out Surviving the Shift with two more shows on the 20th and the 27th, and we're going to kick off Authentic You Radio on February 3rd, and the special guest on that day is going to be Don Jose Ruiz, who is the son of Don Miguel Ruiz, who is the author of The Four Agreements. So he's going to kick off that show, and it's going to be really exciting. And if you'd like to check out the website and look at the promos and some of the information, it's still under construction, so we're adding to it as the days go on leading up to the launch. But the website is AuthenticUMedia.com, and that will link you up with Authentic You Radio and also Authentic You TV. So that's AuthenticUMedia.com. And we're going to be looking for people to submit their videos via YouTube. So if you have you know, your own authentic you message in terms of what it means to you to be your authentic self, you can do a quick little video, and I'd like it to be, you know, around 30 seconds, so nothing too long, but just a quick little message, a video message, and upload it to YouTube, and you can send it via email, the link, to us, and you can find out all the information, again, on AuthenticUMedia.com. And I'd love to see some videos coming in because we'd like to post them for the launch on February 3rd. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And please do tune in next week for another great episode of Surviving the Shift. Good night, everyone.